17. And this is what it says. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How beautiful is the heat that heats the building in the cold months? No. What the text is saying is that how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news to the nations. And we don't often think of feet as beautiful, or at least not the most beautiful body part out of the body parts that we have. But when we think about the fact that these feet are bringing the gospel to people who have never heard the gospel, that does indeed make the feet of this person beautiful, because it's the feet that allow them to carry this message to the people around them and share the gospel, and people become saved. We looked just a few weeks ago at the doctrine of election, or teaching. Doctrine just means teaching. We looked at the teaching of election and the fact that God chooses who will be saved and who will not be saved. And that is a very scriptural teaching. It comes from Romans chapter 9 and other places in the scripture. But people don't come to faith, come to Christ, come to believe in him magically. It doesn't just happen. God says, I elect this person, and then one day they wake up and say, I'm a Christian now. No, it doesn't happen that way at all. So there is a means, there is a process by which people are saved, by which they come to know Jesus Christ. They come to know what he has done for them, and they come to trust in it, trust in Christ's work, and be saved. And Paul here wants to emphasize the fact that they must hear the message of the gospel. People must hear what happened. The fact that they are a sinner. The fact that they deserve judgment because they are a sinner. We all deserve the judgment of God in hell for all eternity. And as harsh as that sounds, that is what we deserve because we have broken his law. But Jesus came. He came to become a man. And he lived a perfect life where he never sinned. He never broke God's law. And because he never broke God's law, because he lived a perfectly righteous life, we can believe in what he has done, trust in his righteousness as our own righteousness, and be saved. And he went to the cross, and on the cross he took the punishment that we deserve. He took the punishment of the wrath of God, that eternal hell was poured out on Christ on the cross. And because of that, we can trust him to take that punishment in our place. And therefore, we don't have to take that punishment ourselves. And that he rose again on the third day, resurrected onto spiritual life and new physical life, so that we might have new spiritual life in ourselves and new physical life in the kingdom to come. So though all these truths, this truth of what Christ has done, need to be communicated to someone before they can believe, yet at the same time, God has chosen all who will believe. He's chosen them, and he will send his Holy Spirit to change their heart so that they will believe these things. But they cannot believe these truths unless they hear them first. So indeed, there is a means, there is a process by which people come to know the good news of Jesus Christ and come to believe in it, this good news. So they don't. People aren't saved in a vacuum. They're saved through the proclamation of the gospel, through the proclamation of what I just said, this good news of Jesus Christ. So let us pray and get into the passage. Dear Lord, Father, how amazing it is that you give the gift to your church, that your church might carry the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, to their friends, family, to the people they encounter day by day. And you give us the gift of being able to share this news with them, and that through this good news, people come to be saved, Father. And even though you are the foundation of their salvation, we, the church, are the means by which they receive that salvation through the hearing of the gospel, Father. How amazing it is. How beautiful are the feet of those who carry this good news to the nations, to our community around us, to our families, Father. Let us treasure this gift. Let us exalt in the fact that we get to share this news with our families and our friends and our communities and the nations. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 10, verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. And Moses did indeed write in the book of Leviticus. He wrote in Leviticus 18, 4 and 5, he said, "You shall follow my rules," this is God speaking, "you shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." Jesus taught the same truth in Matthew 19, 17. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." Galatians 3, 12, Paul taught the same truth. "But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them." Number one, the Word of God teaches that if someone desires to keep God's law in order to attain righteousness, then the only way to reach that righteousness is to obey the law completely, never breaking a single commandment. Jesus Christ was the only man to ever live that never broke a single commandment. Number one, the Word of God teaches that if someone desires to keep God's law in order to attain righteousness, then the only way to reach that righteousness is to obey the law completely, never breaking a single commandment. Jesus Christ was the only man to ever live that never broke a single commandment. We looked last week at the fact that the Jews stumbled over Jesus Christ as a stumbling block because they desired to receive their salvation through their own works and not through the righteousness that is by faith. When you attempt to earn your salvation by obedience to the law, you find that you fail to keep the righteousness perfectly of the law. And when you fail, you earn up condemnation for yourself. And even if God reset the playing field again that day and said, okay, try again, do better this time, obey perfectly this time, you would fail again the very next day, the very next hour. Because we cannot, we are sinners by nature, and we cannot obey the law perfectly to earn our own righteousness. So we must trust in the righteousness that is by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, verses 6 through 8 says, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Okay, these verses at first look very confusing and difficult to understand. What is Paul talking about here in verses 6 through 8? And where does he get this pattern, this idea that we have to ascend into heaven or descend into the abyss? What is he talking about here? So we're going to go a little slowly through these verses so that we can understand what they're actually teaching. First of all, Paul borrows here from the text of Deuteronomy, where Moses offers to Israel the choice of whether to obey God and be blessed or disobey God and be cursed. The text in Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14 is similar to the verses 6 through 8 in Romans 10. It says, for this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. So why does Paul change the focus here in Romans 10 to this text in Deuteronomy? Does he mean to say the same thing that it's saying or something different? The text in Deuteronomy is teaching that when the Lord asks for obedience from the nation of Israel, it is not something unattainable for those who are trusting in him. God has put his word into their mouth and their heart, so that they do not need to go looking for it elsewhere, across the sea, or descending into the abyss, as Paul says. This means that for Israel, in Deuteronomy, obedience to his word is clearly a matter of faith in what God has given them in his word. Salvation in the Bible is always by faith. So, when he says who will descend into the abyss, he means there's no need to descend into the abyss because the word of faith, meaning the faith that we can proclaim from our mouths and believe in our heart, is already close to us. So we don't need to ascend into heaven to find Jesus Christ in heaven, or descend into the abyss to find him in the abyss. The word that we need to proclaim in order to be saved is in our mouth already and in our heart already. Number two, Paul uses a similar wording in Deuteronomy here in Romans 10, verses 6 through 8, because the concept is the same. No one needs to go looking for salvation elsewhere because God has put the possibility of salvation in our mouths and in our heart. The way of salvation is very near to us. Number two, Paul uses a similar wording to Deuteronomy here in Romans 10, verses 6 through 8, because the concept is the same. No one needs to go looking for salvation elsewhere because God has put the possibility of salvation in our mouths and in our heart. The way of salvation is very near to us. And here we see the fruit of this teaching in Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Number three, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. This is how salvation is near to us, in our mouth and in our heart. When our heart believes, we are justified, and when our mouth confesses, we are saved. Number three, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. This is how salvation is near to us, in our mouth and in our heart. When our heart believes, we are justified, and when our mouth confesses, we are saved. We see several things at work here. The confession we must make with our mouth is that Jesus is Lord. This tells us that one cannot be saved without submitting to Christ in obedience to his commandments. We've seen this many other places in the Word of God. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6, the Apostle John wrote, "And by this we know that we have come to know Jesus Christ, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." So the scripture, Jesus, teaches that we must submit to him as Lord. So when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, it is not a simple words that we're speaking. It is a confession, an agreement that Jesus is indeed Lord over our life. And that will play out in the reality of our life as we live. He will be our Lord. Number four, submitting to Christ as Lord by keeping his commandments is not salvation by works. The works that true Christians do are the fruit of salvation, not the cause of it. Remember, when God elects us for salvation, he is the foundation of our faith, not anything that we do. Number four, Submitting to Christ as Lord by keeping his commandments is not salvation by works. The works that true Christians do are the fruit of salvation, not the cause of it. Remember, when God elects us for salvation, he is the foundation of our faith, not anything that we do. We also see here in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that with the heart we believe or trust in what Jesus has done on our behalf. And it is through the faith or trust that we are justified. To be justified is to have our sins covered by the blood of Christ so that we have his righteousness as our own when we stand before God. The word here says also that we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, because that is representative of all the work that Jesus Christ has done for us. It's the culmination, his resurrection from the dead. We cannot receive the righteousness of Christ from his perfect life as our own if we do not believe that God the Father raised him from the dead. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 and 14, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." So if someone denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the final resurrection, the physical resurrection of our bodies when Christ returns, he says then our faith is in vain. You can't be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection. He's saying our faith would be pointless without it. That's tough. There are people in our churches today who say they don't believe in the miraculous resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul here says that then it's all vanity, it's all vain to believe in anything of Christianity and not believe in the resurrection. Pray for those people that they would see the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and believe. Romans 10, verses 11 through 13 says, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Number 5. Everyone who believes in Christ will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It matters not whether they are Jew or Gentile, because God is God of everyone and will bless everyone who calls on him. Number 5. Everyone who believes in Christ will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It matters not whether they are Jew or Gentile, because God is God of everyone and will bless everyone who calls on him. So even though God does elect whomever he wants to and hardens the heart of everyone he wants to, not a single person who truly puts their faith in Jesus Christ will ever be turned away. There's no people who come to the throne of God and say, "I believed in you," and God will say to them, "Yes, but you weren't in my elect, so you're not going to be saved." That's not how it works. If someone truly is believing in Jesus, then they will receive the blessing of God. They will be saved, because everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, Paul says. And he says this just one chapter later, after his teaching on election. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Number 6. Paul here lays out the reality of the only way someone can be saved. They must call on Christ's name. They must believe in his work. They must have heard his gospel. Someone must share that gospel with them. And the person who shares must be sent by the church. Number 6. Paul here lays out the reality of the only way someone can be saved. They must call on Christ's name. They must believe in his work. They must have heard his gospel. Someone must share that gospel with them. And the person who shares must be sent by the church. Evangelism is essential to the salvation of God's elect people. God uses this process of evangelism so that his people whom he has chosen can hear about their need to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. If this did not happen, no one would be saved, because this is God's means, his process for saving his elect. He uses his church to spread the news of the good gospel, the good news of the gospel, so that people might hear it, repent of their sins, and be saved. That's why it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Because it doesn't happen by magic, as I said. God doesn't just reach down and say, you're going to be a Christian, and somebody wakes up that day and, oh, I'm a Christian. No, there are actual feet involved in walking or running or traveling to places where there are people who haven't heard the gospel. And their feet are beautiful because they bring this message of good news to the world. And not just around the world, but in our community, in our families, in our friendships. We are sharing this good news, and God's elect people are hearing it and believing, and thus they're saved. They call on the name of Christ. They believe in the name of Christ. But first, they need to hear it. They need to hear it. Romans 10, 16 through 17 is our concluding verses. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Verse 16 gives us a taste of what we're going to be talking about next week. Paul here says that not all who have heard the gospel have obeyed the gospel. He is bringing back his concern for the Jews again, and we will be talking about again Paul's love and concern for the Jewish people, that he wants to see them saved, his brothers and sisters in the national sense. We'll see more of that next week and in chapter 11 as well. But in verse 17, he summarizes the teaching in this passage. He says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Number 7. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It is through the hearing of the word of Christ, the gospel, that God awakens faith through the work of the Spirit. God uses the evangelism of his people, the elect church, to bring about the faith of his elect in the world. Number 7. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word. of Christ. It is through the hearing of the word of Christ, the gospel, that God awakens faith through the work of his Spirit. God uses the evangelism of his people, the elect church, to bring about the faith of his elect. So in the beginning, there were witnesses of what Jesus had said and done and his message. These witnesses were the early disciples of Jesus Christ and the apostles especially. And they, through the work of the Spirit in their heart, believed in what they saw with their own eyes. The witness to them was Jesus Christ himself. And then they started to spread the message to the world. They went throughout the world, and faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ. And then that message has been spread through the preserving of the scripture, the Old and New Testament scriptures, and also through the witness of the church through the past 2,000 years. And the only way that people come to know Jesus Christ is through the hearing of the word of Christ. That's how faith is awakened in people. So as the church, we have a privileged position that we are the ones which are causing, through God's work in us, the salvation of people around us. It is our work to be the means by which God calls his elect out of darkness into light. It's essential that we do this because we are the only ones who can. And there are other faithful churches out there, but I can tell you there are a lot of churches who are not being faithful to declare the message of Jesus Christ to the world. That means we are one of the few that has the true message of the gospel and has the ability to carry it to the world. We must take this privilege that we have and be faithful to share the gospel with everyone around us, and also send missionaries into other nations to do so as well. But we have people in our lives right now who may be the elect people of God, but they have not yet believed. And God calls us to share the word of Christ with them so that they might believe. Application number one. Do not attempt to earn your own salvation by keeping the whole law, because we have all failed and will continue to fail to keep every last commandment of the law. Application number one. Do not attempt to earn your own salvation by keeping the whole law, because we have all failed and will continue to fail to keep every last commandment of the law. The Jews had tried to earn their salvation by works, and they failed to reach that righteousness that they needed. Let us not do that. Don't fail to reach the God righteousness that God requires by trying to keep the whole law. Instead, reverence the law, love God's law, cherish his commands, but trust in your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, for that is the only way we can be saved. Application number two. Do live a life of increasing work of obedience to Christ by the work of the Spirit, as you put to death the deeds of the body. Number two, application number two. Do live a life of increasing work of obedience to Christ by the work of the Spirit, as you put to death the deeds of the body. You'll remember from Romans 8, verses 13 and 14, that we put to death the deeds of the body. We kill the sins in our life through the work of the Spirit, through the Word of God. So we can obey Christ more and more, be conformed more and more to his image through the work of the Spirit in our hearts as we cherish his word. Application number three. Since faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ, passionately pursue the sharing of the word of Christ with everyone around you so that God will awaken the faith of his elect people in your life. Application number three. Since faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ, passionately pursue the sharing of the word of Christ with everyone around you so that God will awaken the faith of his elect people in your life. Imagine how wonderful it is to see people awakened from their slumber, coming into the light from the darkness, believing in Christ, their hearts being changed, and following Christ in confessing him as Lord of their life and believing in their heart all the things that Christ has done, including the resurrection from the dead. You can see that because the power of God is with you as you share the gospel with those around you. And God has his elect people that he has already chosen, and all they need to hear is the gospel. A call to repentance and faith in Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, we want to see people come to faith, Father. We want to see the people that you have chosen come to know you in actuality, come to know you truthfully, Father. I just pray that it would happen. I pray that we would see it, Father, and even though we fail every day, we're not perfect, Father, like Jesus was, like Jesus is, Father, we can still share the message of your gospel the best we can, and then you can use it, use that scattering of seed to reap a great harvest among our friends, family, co-workers, people we know, people we see in the community, Father, people in the nations, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Richard.